We're going to come from the book of Acts this morning. Mm-hmm. Then we'll go to the book of Psalms, Psalms 117. But the book of Acts this morning, Reverend Holmes read 1 through 9. I'm going to read verses 10. I'm going to start at verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and hath seen a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. This is what I like. Then Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And there he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Verse 15, 16. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Psalms 117, verse 2. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. For a subject or topic this morning, I'm just going to preach on this. He saw the best in me. He's all right. I tried him and I found out he's all right with me. Jesus, all right with me. You can't say that about everybody, but you can say it about Jesus Christ. Because he's the same when you met him, and he's the same to this day. God is good, church. He is very good. Let us pray. Father God, it's again, God, I come to you as humble as I know how, Father. Father, I ask you to increase in me as I decrease, Father. Father, I ask you to give me some insight so that the world can have more sight of you, Father, so they can have more understanding of who you are, what you do, and what you will do, and what you say you will do, and how true you are to your word, God. Father, I just need your help this morning. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a way to start off this holiday season. First Sunday in November. This month is Thanksgiving coming up. Next month is Christmas. We just had the horrible holiday, which is Halloween. So now we got the good holidays that's coming up. The one where we give thanks for God and the one where we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And during this holiday season, some people will go into a state of depression, oppression, and mispression, misrepresentation, and get broke and everything, trying to please others. But this morning, I want you to let you know that God sees the best in you. Turn to somebody and tell them, God sees the best in you. See, just like this chapter right here, and I love this chapter right here. We have overlooked this chapter. A lot of people don't really understand what's going on here. But see, this morning, I want to try to give you a little insight, a little bit more insight on the God we serve and how he serves and how he does things. Because this God that we serve is an amazing God. He does stuff that we just don't understand sometimes. We just better not question it because it's him that does these things. Now, this right here is God's worst enemy, Saul. If you heard in your hearing when Reverend Holmes read, Saul wanted letters and names and stuff for people that he can go out and persecute. Saul wanted to know where he can go and kill more Christians, where he can go and torture more Christians. Saul wanted to know where they was all hiding at. Saul wanted to stop this Christian religion. Saul was one of the most ruthless Roman soldiers there was. Saul didn't care nothing about Jesus Christ. If you stepped to Saul and said Jesus Christ, he probably would have cut your throat. If you stepped to Saul and said something about Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he would have called you a liar. If you stepped to Saul and told him who Jesus was, Saul would have slapped you in your face. That's how mean Saul was. If you read stuff about Saul and how he treated the Christians back then before he came to Christ, you just don't understand why Jesus called Saul. But Saul went on the road. He wrote the book. He came out in the book of Acts. He went on the road to write the book of Ephesians, Philippians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. And he wrote one of the famous saying, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Saul wrote that. One who hated Jesus Christ. Now look how good this God we serve. See, God sees the best in all of us in here. See, God don't look at our past. We the ones look at our past all the time. We need to stay out the mirror sometime and leave that all behind us, because in the past is in the past. Today is today. Right now is right now. What I did on yesterday don't matter today. Because I done prayed to Christ, to God through Jesus Christ about it, and God has forgiven me about it. See, that's the faith I have in God, knowing that he has forgiven me of my sins. That's the faith we all should have in him this morning. Because right now, church, God sees the best in each and every one of you this morning. He sees the best so much that he wrote in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he sent what? His best. His only begotten son for you. So he saw something in you to save you. So you should see something in yourself to forgive yourself. Like I said earlier, stay out the mirror and everything be all right. See, you can't do nothing about the past. You can only live for today. But see, we go on in this story right here. God gave Ananias a vision. A vision about going to speak to Saul. And Ananias immediately woke up and said, hold up, Lord. I know this man. I know what he all about. I done heard a whole lot of stuff about Saul. Saul hate Christians. You want me to go talk to Saul? And then, then go on verse 15, what God the Lord said. What the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. God will use your worst enemy to bring you out of bondage. God will use somebody that you can't stand to help you get on your way. God will use somebody you don't even know to walk up to you to give you a message from him. Have you ever had that happen before? I have. And God will let your light so shine where you don't think it's shining somewhere too. Be careful of your actions when you're out there amongst people. Because God will put that glow on you, and somebody's in the presence of you, and you showing out. You ain't acting you what God supposed wants you to act like. You just showing out. And that person over there looking at you and say, that's Roland Carter. I saw him down at the church singing Sunday. Cutting up. But see, that's how God works, church. We just don't understand the way God works in some scenarios and cases in life. God sees the best in all of us. When we stand up and testify, he sees that. When we stand up and tell a lie, he sees that. But yet and still, he blesses us each and every day. Yet and still, he keeps a roof over our head each and every day. God got some great stuff for all of us in here right now. He got some future blessings for all of us in here right now that we got to learn how to accept. And see, God is one that Psalms 34:8 tells us, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good inside and out. He is good when I'm bad. He is good when I'm good. He is good when I can't want to walk his way, but he's still good to me. And see, we just don't understand that sometimes, how he sees the best in us. But, when you get around other folks, God sees the best in us, but other folks sees our mess. We care so much about what other folks think till we miss our own blessings. We care so much about trying to please other folks that can't stand us that we miss everything that God got for us. When we come into the church house, you got a song on your heart, a dance in your step, but you're too worried about what other folks gonna say that you sit down on your blessings. You might want to be on the usher board. You might want to get on the choir. You might want to get on the deacon board. You might want to be a trusting. But you're so scared of what somebody else going to say. But if God sees the best in you, you need to let God worry about that and handle what you need to handle. Handle God's business. There is somebody sitting around us right now that can do church work better than the church people we got on there now. But they're so scared of what other folks going to say. See, God sees the best in us. See, it didn't stop Saul from changing from Saul to Paul. It didn't stop him at all. He got blinded for 3 days. See, that was his calling. I'm glad God didn't call me like that. Because when he called Saul, he blinded him for 3 days. Now, he called others too, but this calling right here was something fearful. Because if you lose your sight instantly, that's scary. You can see me right now, but all of a sudden you go blind. That's scary. Because you don't know what's coming next. You don't know who's around you. You don't know what's around you. You don't even forget where you at. Because if you close your eyes and try to walk out that door blindly, you're going to miss that first step. Unless somebody helping you. But you saw lost his sight instantly because of the bright light. And when he lost his sight, he instantly started trembling before the Lord. He asked God, what is it you want me to do? Where you want me to go? Who you want me to see? Because he lost his sight. He lost his sight. God sees the best in us. Even though we lost our sight, we lost our way, he still sees the best in us. Even though we stumble and fall sometimes, he still sees the best in us. Even though we mistreat our neighbors and mistreat our own selves, he still sees the best in us. When we were out there doing our thing, he still saw the best in us because he kept his love and honor and protection around us. See, that's a song that says, God saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. You remember that time you told folks, I done started going to church? You remember that time you told folks, God called me to preach? You remember that time you told folks, I done joined the choir? You remember that time you told folks, I'm on the usher board? You remember that time you told folks, I'm in charge of this auxiliary at church? They looked at you and said, no, not you. Not you. You a crook and you on a trustee board. You a liar and you in the pulpit. You a backbiter and you singing songs on Sunday morning. But this God we serve can take that liar, can take that crook, can take that backbiter and make them the leader of nations just like he did Paul, and writer of books just like he did Paul. See, God sees the best in us. See, God can take what little we have and turn it into a lot. See, he took the leadership that Paul had, and now a lot of churches are designed and built the way Paul wrote down in the Bible. A lot of churches follow the rules and regulations that Paul has in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Galatians, Ephesians, and they run their churches right by that because Paul set all that up. Through God. God saw the best in Paul. Now, if God saw the best in Paul, what are your shortcomings at? Leave them shortcomings behind.
Yeah.
And let God lead and direct your path. You know, some of us in here can sing on high, but we won't go no further than the church house. We won't sing when we out of the church. We won't go to a schoolhouse and sing something. We won't go to a nursing home and sing something. We won't even go to a hospital and sing a song. But see, God has given us that ability to sing. Imagine if you went somewhere and sung like you sang in church. And the right person God put there to see you, all of a sudden you done went from church singing to television singing. Well, see, this is the God I serve. See, somebody should have been clapping right there. You didn't clap because you didn't believe that God sees the best in you. It don't take but one yes nowadays. It don't take but so many hits on Instagram, Facebook, Messenger. It don't take but so much nowadays to get to where God wants you to get to. And see, God sees the best in us because, see, God is the God of love. See, 1 John 4:8 tells us God is love. This is why God is so forgiving towards us. He is full of love and he knows our heart. He knows that sometimes we get caught up because of the sinful nature. Yeah. Now, you may ask yourself, what's that sinful nature? The sinful nature is that aspect in man that makes him rebellious against God. Yeah. When we speak of the sin nature, we refer to the fact that we have a nature inclination to sin, given the choice to do God's will or our own. Naturally, we're going to do our own thing. When we are by ourselves, we're going to do our own thing. But we were amongst somebody else, you know, we got to follow the crowd. But sometimes when we by ourselves, we just do our own thing. Ain't nobody watching. Ain't nobody here. Don't nobody see me. That's a lie. God saw you. And God wrote it down, too. But God knows us that we have that. We was born in sin because of Adam and Eve. Therefore, we have a sinful nature. That's why God sees the best in us, because God knows who we really are. God know that certain folks can't cross us certain ways because we will go off. God knows that we can only take so much at some time. God knows us better than we know ourselves. See what I'm saying? God knows that some of us don't even need to be in the relationship that we're in now, but we tolerate some things. God knows that we don't need to be on certain auxiliary right now, but we are there because we're too afraid to try something else. But when we allow that best that on the inside of us shine on the outside of us, imagine what we'll be and where we can go by letting God use the best in us. See, when once we start allowing God to use the best in us, there's no stopping us then. But see, we got to get like Paul, not get caught up in self. See, Saul was a Roman soldier. Saul was a Roman leader soldier. He was a head man in charge. See, when Saul walked other people's walk, when Saul came into a room, people trembled at him just coming into the room. Christians all around him knew who he was, and they trembled every time they heard the name Saul. Just like Ananias heard the name Saul in his sleep. He woke up and talked to the Lord. Hold up, I can't do that. I know that man evil ways. See, but Saul did not get caught up in himself when God blinded him. See, when God does something to get your attention, you better wake up and do what God wants you to do. Because so many of us are going through stuff right now, all we got to do is wake up and do what God wants us to do. We're walking around like Saul was, with scales on our eyes and scales on our ears. First thing, we're not seeing God. The second thing, we're not hearing God. And the third thing, we are definitely not going to do what God wants to do. That's why we have some people have not gotten to the places that God wants them to get to, because they have not let God fully take control. They have quenched the spirit. And the Bible tells us not to quench the spirit. But see, when we walk around sometime and something in your spirit tells you to do something, we quench it. I can't go do that. I'm not going to do that because that's not in me. It is in you. If it wasn't in you, it wouldn't have told you to do it. See, it was God in you telling you to do that. See, God sees the best in you. See, Marvin Sapp says he saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. Said he saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. Can I tell you one more time? I said he saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one witness. He saw the best in me when everyone else around me can only see the worst in me? Does anybody have a testimony? When folks walk away from you, said you would never make it, what did he do? He saw the best in me. God been with all of us all this time. When somebody told you you weren't going to be nothing, but you became something. When somebody told you you weren't going to have nothing, but you got something. When somebody told you you weren't going to graduate, but you did. When somebody told you you weren't going to get that job, but you got that job because God saw something in you and he allowed you to get that. See, God saw the best in you this morning, church, just like he saw the best in Saul this morning. But you got to realize if God saw the best in me that one time, he sees the best in me all the time. It's up to me to accept what God has for me. See, like I heard somebody say, there's boxes in heaven that have not been opened. Those boxes are full of blessings that you didn't go after. Oh, man, you're going to be upset then when you get there because God's going to say, I had my best in you. I saw the best in you. You never asked for it. You never proceed after it. But you just said, you just took what others said. But see, like I told you earlier, you trust what other folks say better than you trust what God said. Preachers, we hear this all the time. He can't preach. She can't preach. Well, let me tell you something. How to handle that. Tell you how to handle that. When I hear that, I say, can you do any better? God ain't called you, did he? If he called you, you should have went before me. Because, see, I know my Bible. And see, when he called Saul, he blinded Saul. And see, when he called Jonah, he put Jonah in the belly of a fish. And see, when he called Moses, he put Moses out there in a bush, and the fire came up on the bush, not to consume the bush, and Moses stood there. And then Moses went and did all those great victories for God. And see, then when he called Abraham, see, he called Abraham and Sarah was in their 90s and stuff like that, and they did great things in the Bible as well, you know. And then most of all, you know, he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, you know, he sent his son for all of us. He didn't just send it for you because you're standing there saying that, you know, so-and-so can't preach. But, you know, and then he did this thing, too. You know, he wrote in his word. He wrote in his Bible that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And see, if you stand there judging me or judging somebody else because you thinking that they can't do a good job, then you and they got the faith in Jesus Christ in Philippians 4:13. You better watch it. Because also I don't read in that word too, Matthew 7:1, where it says, judge not that you may not be judged. Then I'll tell them again, you know, I also read in the 23rd Psalms that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me. See, you have to know how to handle that stuff like that when somebody try to come and contradict you about your faith. That's why I just stay in the word, church, and you stay in the word when somebody come try and contradict you about what God has told you to do and what God is going to give you. This 66 books is your backbone and your proof of what God has for you. You don't have to go in a long, drawn-out conversation with that person at all. You can just stand there and stand your ground and know that the Comforter will remind you of everything that God told you to do. But see, there's other peoples in the Bible that God also saw the best in. I just named a few, Sarah and Abraham. He saw the best in Sarah and Abraham. Even after Sarah and Abraham went into that city and told that lie, God still allowed Sarah and Abraham to have that baby in their later age. Then he also saw greatness in somebody else. One guy in that Bible was after God's own heart, but he did something that, you know, a man do, made a mistake, but God still forgave him and made him one of the greatest kings of all, King David. And King David wrote things in the Bible, Proverbs and Psalms and other things in the Bible. And then he also had this man right here, this matriarch Noah. Noah built an ark. Let Noah live 100 years to build an ark. And then after 100 years, it rained. And when the rain was over, all that came out of the ark was Noah and his family. And then Noah, he goes and makes him a steel and makes him a bottle of wine and get drunk and he cusses the nation. God still saw the best in him. So if God saw the best in Moses who killed a man, he saw the best in Sarah and Abraham who did their deeds, he saw the best in Noah who did his deed, then why not you? Why not accept the best that God sees in you? Stop allowing others to say that you ain't this, you ain't that. Because they don't know you and your relationship with God. God sees the best in you. God does, the one who created all of us. When you read the book of Genesis, it says God created the heavens and the earth. Now, that's the same God that sees the best in you, the one who created the heavens and the earth. It says God sent his only begotten son. That's the one that sees the best in you. This morning, church, I just came to give you a little message for a holiday season. Because when you go out here this holiday season and things start getting all up in your head and you get all messed up and stuff like that with all this shopping and spending and disappointments and doing this and doing that, remember this. God sees the best in you. Amen. Even though somebody may not appreciate that gift you're going to buy, God still sees the best in you. Even though somebody not going to come to your house for Thanksgiving dinner, God still sees the best in you. Remember that. Whatever you're going to go through this holiday season, God still sees the best in you. That's the way God told me to tell you this morning, that he sees the best in you. And as long as you walk around with that thought in your mind, that God sees the best in me, God sees the best in me, eventually, what others say and what the devil try to do to you won't even matter no more. Amen. Amen. Amen.